thing that that I want to talk to you about your work history and your life after the war. And you had said, you told me before that you were never actually laid off.
No.
That you managed to keep a job.
That's right. Well, you know why? I'm a key person. And when Lockheed went downhill, they kept all their key people.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they opened up, they had people that knew how to do all these jobs. So that's why I was never laid off, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, well, it was nice that they have somebody that's smart, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can't start all these things just from scratch.
Mm-hmm. So you were, in what ways were you a key person? What was the
one that knew all the routine about all these wires and things, how to cut wires and how to number wires and how to put them in bundles how to put them for boxes of form boards or anything that they might use them for.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah. So,
just like I set up a new area, I could do that, you know. I know how to put all the stock away, you know, parts and things,
mm-hmm.
and all that sort of thing. So you're a key person. And in other departments, they have different kinds of work, and they have a key person for that, all those different things.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went to a different department, though, after the war.
I was always in electrical. And then later years, I was what they call mock-up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, from electrical was where we did bench work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went down on the airplanes for years and then into mock-up. And then from mock-up, I went to this supervision job I had.
Uh-huh. You told me that for a while you went out to the field.
Yeah.
Now, that was right after the war.
Yes, uh-huh.
You and another woman had to close out the whole department. How long were you out in the field?
Oh, after the war, it was quite a few years, because for a long time, I was the only girl out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in the cockpit and put, when they'd say gear up, mm-hmm. I put the switches on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the smart Alex would go by and they'd say gear up, but they always said gear up, Isabel. So I didn't put any gears up, you know, because that fan is just like a fan to go around. And they run these airplanes on the field for days and test all this thing out by the inspectors, and then they sell it to the Navy, and it's tested before it's ever put in the air, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a long time. And then they gradually went into the Constellation. They started to build that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get all the parts and everything ready, and then I had to go back and bring all those things so that they all hit the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there 2 or 3 different times, but then, I don't know. It's been so many years, you forget all what you used to do.
Uh-huh. Was there a point when you went back inside after working out there? Or
was there what?
A point where you went back into working on...
Well, no. See, all those supervisors and things, they had to be dropped back to different classifications. And then when they had a department set up, then we went into their department because they were familiar who could do the work, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get called back into another department.
Mm-hmm. But
I was never downgraded, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never went to a lower classification.
Mm-hmm.
In electrical, they have several different classifications as you go on.
Mm-hmm.
And mock-up is the highest. That's when they start a plane, you know, and they have these great long form boards that you cut the wires, you start at one end and then the other, and then maybe they have a switch on one or two wires and a big plug on another or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all tied together. And then when they go in the airplane, everything fits right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And mock-up people have that, and they're responsible that everything works right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know just how to explain it to you.
Yeah, so the Maka people were in on the very first basic thing of the plane being built.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And kind of set the pattern.
Well,
first
Maka, they have mock-up people, and they take the wires and they ride them all in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they take that harness, what they call a harness, and take it off of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it on a form board, and that's how they have this black tape and green tape and red tape and different kinds of tape to tell us what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have little plaques that they put on in there, and it gives you the what they call a cartouche or it's just like the name of a plug or a different way of identification.
Awesome. Now, then does someone else later come along and do some more of that?
Well, they make up the form boards, and then they have a different crew and different classification that puts all this together.
Awesome. So did you just work your way up through the,
yeah, all those levels? Things, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I had seniority, so I always went, you know, they go by seniority, and you go on up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to get there early. My 2 weeks, I was only going to stay 2 weeks, and I was 31 years, so that's a long time. But I loved every day of it.
Yeah. Did, now you were telling me that you eventually became a supervisor.
Yeah.
About what year was that, do you remember? About what time?
Well, different times. I was, during the war, I had about 150 people. I'd keep you busy, you know, that's when I was in the wire section. But after, Lockheed has, we wait so many planes, and when that's over, well, then they start something else, and then you're in enough of another, you have to build that up to when they can get things that go right into the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, a lot of them went to Palmdale, see, that was the thing. And they wanted me to go to Palmdale.
Is that where another plant was?
That's where the L-1011 or the, is being built up there. And then a bunch of them went, most of them went up to the north where they have the plant up there. Mm-hmm. Well, I could have gone up there, but I had a house here and I lived here all my life. I didn't want to go up there, and I'm glad I didn't, because they have different types of weather, and they didn't do so well when they went up there. They all began... Things like that. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did now you had in the say in the supervising position in the war? You're saying you were, there were about 150 people that you had to make sure had things to do and kept working. Then after the war, how long was it after that that you next got a job supervising?
Well, it was, I don't know.
I was wondering, like, with Korea, did they hire a lot more people back on the Korea?
Yes,
job?
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did that really make a big change in there?
Yeah, well, they had different types of plane and different plants,
mm-hmm.
Where they did different, jobs and things, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you basically just whatever plane it was that they, and then a couple of, I think about two times back when I was here, you had shown me a lot of pictures of
yes,
planes
uh-huh.
that you'd work on. So basically whenever a new plane was started, you would be in a different kind of...
Well, see, they have one plane right after the other down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then when your classification, if you have so many days in this station, so many days in that station, it moves.
Mm-hmm.
It moves at night,
mm-hmm.
when there's no one there. They move all the benches and everything, and then the next morning, you're supposed to have all your work done and all sold out, so the next crew that's in that other station can take over from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bird book. I kept a record of all the airplanes that I worked on it, that when I was on the line. And the numbers of what I sold off and what I didn't sell off. Sometimes you don't get the parts and you can't do it.
Uh-huh.
So my boss used to come along and I'd come on, Isabel. You take me up the head of the line, and I looked at my bird book. I didn't do that airplane either. See, they had three different crews.
Uh-huh.
So then he'd have to go back to somebody else who didn't finish up their job, you know, and then we'd have to finish it up.
I see. So that way, did many people do that, or was that just an idea that you...
No, that was just procedure.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So you kept track of everything.
Well, when I looked at my job, everywhere was in place and everything was tied and everything was secure, and I didn't get very, very few scrawks on my job.
Uh-huh.
And when I look at my work, I could tell my work from the other girls,
mm-hmm.
the three crews of us. So I didn't have any problem with that. But my boss was smart enough to look at the work, you know, he just had a problem. And who has to fix it? He thought I would. That was the way it worked.
Uh-huh. No, Now, did you ever become, say, in the news after the war, like a lead woman or supervisor? Did you ever become a lead woman or a supervisor? I'm not sure if they called the different positions after the war.
Well, I never became a supervisor. I became a lead man, what they call a lead man, and here I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I didn't have even supervision because they'd go... Well, one time I had a big round cable that had about 26 wires in it, and I had this crew. And there was something new that they were putting in the airplanes, and I don't know how many that I made at that time. But my foreman and my supervisor went on a vacation, took off. One of them's wife was sick, and the other one was gone. So I had the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my crew was just wonderful to me. We worked one of those up just as soon as I got it complete. I'd call this man, and he'd come from the airplane over and pick it up. And so I got a nice combination, but where it is, I don't know, somewhere around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Telling how he was real pleased with all the work I did.
Oh. So were there, you're saying there are all these steps, is there a regular time of promotion, or did you have to...
Well, I don't know.
Wait until someone left the job, or...
No. I didn't, no one left the job for me.
Uh-huh.
No.
So how did the company decide when to promote?
Well, when I first went into this, before I came lead man, I went down to help this man on another ship, and he wasn't familiar with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had stacks and stacks of stock come in from, the stock room
mm-hmm.
that he had to put away. And so I'm standing there, not much to do, so I asked him if I could help put it away, and he didn't sort of trust me because he didn't know, you know. Don't put it in the wrong place. Don't put it in the wrong place. Don't put it in the wrong place. So I was very accurate, and I put it in the right place. And then he became so familiar with my work that he didn't doubt me all the time, you know. And the stockman would come in, and I'd have a book, and I'd list every plug and things, how many I received for this job or that job or the other. And then a lot of times when I opened that sack, it wasn't the right stuff, you know. So I'd scream like the dickens to this man. So he didn't have to do all this. So he went on a vacation, and he left me the job. I didn't know I was going to be that until I came in Monday morning. So I did all that while he was on a vacation, which was 3 weeks. And then they later on in a year, why he was upgraded to a better job, and I fell heir to the job, so I came in that department for 2 weeks, and I stayed 7 years. So,
uh-huh.
And that's where I was in the last year.
Uh-huh. Now, what was the name of that department that you were in for the last?
And,
do they have a?
Well, we all have a department number.
Oh. But I mean, not so much the number, it was still within electrical.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So it was still an electrical, but it was the stock for the different...
Well, it was a whole department where we did all this work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things had to go in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they worked a job, I had a table, and I checked everything was on this here harness or whatever they sold. And to see that it was accurate, and then I would sack them up and put the ship number and where it had to go and that sort of thing, so that nothing went out that wasn't correct.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the girls, you know, would make a mistake, and I always told them, don't send it out incorrectly, let's correct it, you know, because if you break apart or something like that, you can have it rejected and then get another part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have any trouble.
Mm. Now, when you started working, when you started on a cruise ship, did you change any other shift?
Oh, yeah. I was 3.5 years on that swing shift.
Uh-huh.
And then after the war, for about 2 or 3 months, I went on the day shift because they dispersed all those people on swing first.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down the line. It all according to your seniority date.
So they changed you back up to the day shift.
And I went to the day shift, and from there I went out in the field.
Uh-huh.
And I was out there all summer long. I got sunburned, and I wore out 3 pairs of shoes and everything, but then I don't know how long I was out there.
Uh-huh. And then when you came back inside the plant to work in there again?
To a new airplane that was starting up. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you still stay on the day shift?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How, did you stay on that shift throughout the time you worked there then?
Hmm?
Did you stay on that shift the whole time you
worked? Most of the time. On a special hot, they call it a hot job, where they had to have a plane out certain things. I went on for 2 or 3 weeks on a supervisor, to help a supervisor out to catch up all the work so that get the plane out on time.
Mm-hmm. So were you working a double shift then? Or?
No, no. I went on to graveyard. See. No, no.
For a long time,
you couldn't only work 8 hours a day, you know.
Mm.
But when they got something that had to be out, they got had to get permission to work girls overtime.
Mm. Now, I was just going to ask you, if with the Korean War, you said that they had more people hired in during that time.
A lot of them.
Did more women come back to work then?
No. Oh, they hired a lot of new women.
Mm-hmm. Were they new ones, or were they hiring old ones back?
Well, see, they had a training school, and they'd go to the training school,
mm-hmm.
and go through that, and then they'd, wherever they needed somebody, they'd place them.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we had to take tests every month for soldering and that sort of thing.
Every month they had
to? You know, later on, yes.
Uh-huh.
Because they got those little tiny, tiny wires and little tiny pins and things they had to go in. And they had to be, you know, sometimes those hot soldering irons burn up the wire and all that stuff. And so they were taught how to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just thinking as you were talking about that, I want to get back to talking about the change in the plant. But one of the things that I imagine changing electrical is that you must have gone into the times of transistors and things like that.
Yes, uh-huh.
Did that... And retraining for all this time?
Oh, you went to training every month when they got, when they had some of those things, you'd go to training school and learn how to do it, you know, because that's a waste of time if you don't know how and you're out there. Maybe you got that in the airplane and it has to be rejected. That's a lot of man hours and lots of extra pay and money for, you know, you don't want to do that. You want to have everything accurate.
Mm-hmm. Did the work change a lot?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They went from large plugs like this down to miniature, and then they had these, well, like the radios and things now, they have little boards, and these little parts go on there, and they don't have anything like they used to have.
Mm-hmm. Did it become harder to do that work?
Well, no, but women's hands are smaller, and they're more accurate than boys, so they'd have nearly all women that could do that sort of thing. And you sit on a bench and you have a little plug and things that holds the... I'm all right. That doesn't bother me.
Awesome. So you were talking about how it had changed down and that the women's hands were smaller and so they could work.
Oh, yeah. They have a vise, what they call a vise. Mm-hmm. And they put these little things in the vise and it holds them still.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this soldering in your left hand and your soldering iron in your right, and then you just touch that and it just
mm-hmm.
welts it together, or, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it holds it.
So, now, in what other kinds of ways did working at Lockheed change over the, those next years that you were there?
Oh, every time we got a new plane, we changed.
Mm-hmm.
All the work changes and sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of different now than it was when I was out there. Because I see the girls and they'll say, oh, Isabel, we sure wish we was back with you. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things? What?
Well, all the work and things.
Mm-hmm. Did the people change who
were
working there?
Oh, yeah, you get new help.
Mm-hmm.
All the old-timers, there's a lot of us that's retired that was there during the war and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I still hear from them.
Yeah. When you had first started working at Lockheed, were there many minority workers?
No.
Uh-huh.
They did the sweeping and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Did that change later? Or?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
the government made them hire so many. A lot of the last few years, there was a lot of Japanese and things came in, and they were real accurate. They were real nice help.
How did the people who had been there before, how did they seem to feel about all the changes?
Oh, well, we never made... It happened all the time we were there. There was changes, so it's hard to keep up with things sometimes. And some people aren't... they don't listen very well, you know, and they don't know... You'll talk about something, and then they say, I never heard it. What are you going to do? You don't say anything. You just keep going. Just go, go, go is what's awesome.
Did you get to know... Did you stay in one area long enough to get to know the people that were...
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do anything outside of work with those people?
Outside of walking with those people?
I mean, did you do anything outside of work time? Like, were there any people that you say spent social time with?
Oh, yeah. They had picnics and everything every year, you know, and you'd go to that, or the, what they call LERC, Lockheed's Recreation Center, had lot. You could get tickets to go different places, and we'd all get together and go, and sort of a lot of times when, for years, when somebody had a birthday, we all got together, and we went down to Chinatown, and we went to the Mexican places, and somewhere to dinner or something, all together.
During the this time, I was wondering, were your friends mainly, during the years you were working at Lockheed, were your friends mainly people from work, or did you know people, or did you spend much of your time with people that were not from work?
Well, you know, after the, when the war was on, everybody moved and changed their lives, and a lot of my girlfriends got married and moved away and all that sort of thing. So, well, I'm staying right here so they know where I am.
Did you ever feel, with your friends getting married, was there ever a time when you thought about getting married yourself?
I didn't have time. I still don't. Yeah.
Well, what kinds of things are you doing?
Well, I got a call this morning that I have to work on the election door April and June. So I'll be doing that. And I got all this junk here. I went to Hart luncheon over at the Palladium, and all that's donated. And the Hart people are going to start with the children in school and test their hearts and all that sort of thing. And what this is.
So well, have you been a volunteer with them or done?
Well, my girlfriend's a volunteer, and so they have something I go with that. Oh, and this is where I go to Glendale Center Theater once in a while. And what else I got here? Oh, that's a senior. That was a telephone call of a senior citizen.
Well, I know from talking to you before that you've done that you're real active now and do things with clubs and excursions and things. Has that always been true? I mean, did you?
Well, when I retired, some of the girls, well, it's down here on 8th Street, the Baptist Church has a retirement club. I belong to the YWCA, and anytime we find out that there's something going on, we call on the telephone just like now, and then we meet over there and get together. That's the way we do it. So these are some of the things I saw on my trip.
Well, in the years before you retired, though, what kinds of things did you do for
Well, the YWCA, they used to have, we used to go once a month somewhere, all of us, and have dinner and evening together. And we'd drive our own cars and pick somebody out and take them home. And that friendship was real nice till they moved our our YWCA from Oxford Street way over into Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then the girl we had, which was real fine, she'd get us, she had everything going. She had, you had a dancing, you had a cooking school, she had everything going, you know. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just pushed her out. So we kind of lost track of all that good. And then I belonged to the Pacesetters, which was a businesswoman's club downtown. I get the California Senior Citizens paper. Mm-hmm. And then this is a aeronautic. That's from Lockheed. And then this is a, well, they have shows, theaters. Mm-hmm. We go in the afternoon, and I go down to the music center.
Yeah,
they have...
Yeah,
uh-huh, over at the schoolhouse, over,
okay,
over off of Vermont. It isn't too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and then I get all the news from Lockheed, who passed away, and who doing this and trips and things. And then this is a big house in Redlands that they moved down in a big orange grove.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there on a trip. And they have a big, like a sunroom for flowers and things.
Mm-hmm.
Two busloads of people fit in there, and they sell crepes,
mm-hmm,
with chicken in it. And then they have these great big muffins. They're full of orange, pieces of orange, and then you have orange butter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. I got several others.
Mm-hmm.
And then next door to that is a museum, mm-hmm, and they have all kinds of eggs. Bird eggs and bird nests, and it's just fabulous going in. Now down in the basement they have like the, all the pioneers that came through, they have wagons and all, it's fantastic to see.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a senior paper that you pick up downtown. Yes, uh-huh, they have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down and you pick that up, and then you just look through it, see if there's anything you'd like to go see, and you go see that. Let's see what's this. Oh, and this is a real, real fine place to go, this Earl Norman. They have a place in the valley out here, and I've been five times.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the old instruments, you know, the old pianos and old violins. When I was a little girl, my mother took us to a restaurant, and they had a violin laying down that played by itself. And they have one up there. That's the only one I ever saw. Then they have all across the building,
uh-huh,
these big pipe organs, and the man plays it like they had in theaters. And the train whistles and the things. It's just fantastic. And they have trips to that. And I look in the, what they call a throwaway paper, and when they have one of those, I just call them up right away.
Uh-huh.
I put my name on the list, and then you go over there for so much.
Uh-huh.
This is the same thing as that. And... this was our man at the Good Neighbor Center that used to be fantastic and has all the clubs and things. He passed away, so that's from his. And
this is from the First Baptist.
Yes, uh-huh. See, they have this in the First Baptist Church in the basement part.
Mm-hmm.
And the church lets them have it, and the money they get from here keeps the church going. And this is that museum,
mm-hmm,
that's next to that Edwards Mansion out there.
And
then all these are different things you can see, and it's in Redlands.
Uh-huh.
But it's very nice to go to. Then we went down to the Banning House,
uh-huh,
and that's a museum now.
Mm-hmm.
You take a day and go to all these places.
Mm-hmm. So